Gillian Hill is the Assistant Minister for Citizenship, Customs and Multicultural Affairs and joins me in our Parliament House studio. Minister, welcome back to
Great
Breakfast.
Great to be with you.
The Foreign Minister, Penny Wong, says Australia is outraged by the Israeli government's decision not to pursue criminal proceedings around the killing of Zomi Frankem and her aide colleagues. And the minister also says it's insulting that this decision was announced on World Humanitarian Day. What's your response?
Well, that is my emotion, and it's the Australian government's emotion, and I think it's the response of most Australians to share the outrage that, from the Israeli government's perspective, they think this is the end of the matter. The government was given a few minutes' notice, and I'll say clearly, it's difficult not to see that this is a gratuitous insult to Zomi Frankem's family, to her memory, to her colleagues, indeed to Australia, that this announcement was made on World Humanitarian Day. It beggars belief, and I'm pleased to see, rightly, that the minister will be calling in the Israeli ambassador, that Australia's ambassador in Israel will be conveying these views directly to the Israeli government. And as I heard your previous conversation observed, Special Advisor Air Chief Marshal Mark Binskin, former head of the Australian Defence Force, his report concluded that there were serious failures in following the procedures of the IDF. Democracies are held to a higher standard, and as a fellow democracy, we expect a higher standard of accountability. So we will not give up pursuing justice, and my thoughts are with Zomi Frankem's family, her loved ones, but all humanitarian workers marking World Humanitarian Day for the work that they do. That kind of service represents the very best of Australia and should be honoured.
How much anger is there from the federal government over what has taken place in the past 24 hours on this?
Well, as I said, with a few minutes' notice, as I understand it, the minister will speak in due course. That's not what I think we would expect, but particularly, as I said, a gratuitous insult it feels like to have this happen on World Humanitarian Day. At the end of the day, anger is not a constructive emotion for, you've got to feel it, you've got to express it, but it's not what should drive your actions. So I'll leave it to the minister and won't get ahead of her in terms of what the appropriate next steps might be.
Well, Senator Wong has said that Israel's ambassador, Hillel Newman, will be called in and the government is considering next steps. We heard a short time ago from Chris Sidoti saying that the Israeli ambassador to Australia should be sent home. Is that on the table?
I'm not getting ahead of what the minister may or may not do, and I'll just let her take the appropriate action. She's going to meet with the ambassador. He's been called in. She'll make comments in due course. So I think it's not helpful to speculate right now.
Is this something of a low point in the relationship between Australia and Israel, this incident and this response from Israel?
Well, first point I just want to make, and it's a linguistic point, but it might be of interest to your listeners. I try very hard to talk when we have a difference about the Israeli government. At times, and it does, I think, at times feed into anti-Semitism, I try not to conflate the state of Israel as the world's only Jewish state with profound, at times, disagreements with the actions of the current Israeli government. So I just want to make that point. Not having a go at you, but it's something that I've reflected on and try hard on. None of us always get it right. But our difference on this matter is with the Israeli government, and I think we'll just go around in circles. I'm not going to get ahead of the minister, but I appreciate the genuine public interest and I think very strong emotions which I share on this right now.
Last time we had the Israeli ambassador Hillel Newman in the studio here talking about this particular issue, one of the points of pushback that he had, he was saying regarding the conduct of Australian troops in Afghanistan, we haven't had a clear resolution around some of those issues. Is that a fair comparison or complaint when civilians have been involved?
Well, I'll choose my words carefully. As I said, I think democracies are held to a higher standard. And as a former chair of the Defence Committee, before I was appointed to the ministry a couple of years ago, I think it's entirely appropriate that allegations of war crimes that affected allegedly a very small minority of those who served with distinction in Afghanistan. We can't smear the memories of those who died or those who served, who are back with us, with the alleged actions of a few. But Australia is continuing to pursue those allegations in a proper way We haven't just dropped it because it's all too hard. These are fiendishly difficult things to establish evidence on, particularly in a country with which we have no diplomatic relations right now. But I'm not going to succumb to the bait to conflate the two.
Let's look at a different issue. In your portfolio under customs, One Nation has proposed a 75% cut to the tobacco excise. And New South Wales Premier Chris Minns also thinks there should be something of a re-examination of this. What's the government's view here? This price differentiation between legal and illegal tobacco is big.
Yeah, so let me answer that in two parts. Firstly, what I'd observe up here in Canberra in the last week, but certainly the last few months, is this bizarrely escalating fight between One Nation and the Liberal Party. You know, not long ago, it was a 30% cut to excise that was going to solve the problem. Then they've been running around, it was a 50% cut. Then One Nation, I think, called this week for 75%. So the Liberals then called for 80%. Now they're pointing at a professor who thinks we should wipe out excise completely. By the time Parliament goes back, they'll be paying people to smoke. Like, it's frankly ridiculous, and it's not how we do public policy. This is a fiendishly difficult topic. The government's thinking about it deeply. But the second point I'd make is there is no magic number. There's no simple solution to this. It's devilishly complex. No one has been able to point to a cut in excise that would make legal cigarettes cheaper than the illegal product. Put it a different way, if you wiped out excise completely, the illegal cigarettes would still be cheaper and the states and territories would still have to close the shops. The final point I'd make, you know, with respect, I think Premier Minns does a terrific job on so many areas, but he's not alone. This has been a response for a long time from a number of state premiers and state governments. They haven't pointed to a number, and there is an element at times of avoiding their own political responsibility to go and close the shops. Your listeners would not put up with crooks running a meth lab in the middle of their local strip shopping centre, and neither should they put up with a bunch of organised criminals trying to get their kids hooked on nicotine and poisonous vapes. The Commonwealth's put $98 million over the last financial year in this into supporting the states and territories. Now's the time to double down, not back down. But we'll continue to think about this deeply. We'll look at the Senate inquiry report when it comes out.
Julian Hill, thank you very much for coming in this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Helen.